telling his tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we do real news and great conversation every day. Folks, today I've got one of the Maggie Dawn Show team in the booth with me because Cardi need a little time off. I got Calvin with me today. Thanks so much, Cal, for stepping in. So if you want to join our conversation today via text or phone, be sure you say hello to the fabulous Calvin at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It has been a busy 24-hour news cycle. We have the appointment of real-world MTV star Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation. We've got the nomination of Howard Lutnick, extraordinarily wealthy man leading up the Commerce Department. We've got the Gableman charges. Remember that guy, Judge Justice Michael Gableman, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Mike Gableman, tapped by then Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, to lead the completely bogus investigation into the conspiracy claims with no evidence in the state of Wisconsin, blowing through, I don't know, a mil plus of taxpayer money while Gableman lied, violated our state's sunshine open records laws, you know, all that good stuff. Well, the Office of Lawyer Regulation here in the state of Wisconsin has filed charges against Justice, former Justice Michael Gableman. I've got just the person that you need to hear from about why this matters to you and for our state. Jeff Mandel, General Counsel of Law Forward, will join us at 3 p.m. to discuss that, as well as the Supreme Court oral arguments yesterday, hearing the case brought seeking to remove the executive director from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Election Commission. Her name's Megan Wolf. This goes back quite a ways. So we're going to have Jeff Mandel to break all that down. And within the last couple of hours, somebody is hacked and has their hands, their hot little hands, on the Gates Ethics Report, which seems to be the subject of all the punditry lately. It has not yet been leaked, but the hack has been widely reported, first broken by the New York Times. We're going to talk about all of this and so very much more. And you can always watch me and whomever is the fabulous producer in the booth with me on YouTube. Go check out the Civic Media channel on the U of the Tube. You can see all my crazy facial expressions. This is why I don't play poker, folks. No good at it. My face is telling you exactly what I think and feel about things. And again, of course, we want to have a real conversation and great news exchange with you. So join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Here's where I want to start. It's been something that has been the top of my mind since the election. And that is this. The New York Times yesterday ran a headline that said, "Have Democrats lost the working class voter?" That's what I want to ask you. Have Democrats lost the working class voter? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And what does that mean to you? Like, who is the working class voter? Do you consider yourself the working class voter? I certainly consider myself to be a working class voter. In fact, I consider basically anybody that's not making a million plus a year with at least 5 to 10 mil in the bank a working class voter. Because it means that you're going to have to keep working to the point in time where, if you're fortunate enough, you can retire. But you are working, you're working for a living, you're working 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or even 7 to 7 or more at at least one job, if not more. You rely on a paycheck, you pay taxes on that paycheck. Have the Democrats lost working class voters? Here's my question. And listen, I've been getting lots of texts from conservatives post-election. And a lot of them focus on this. Hey, where were you, Maggie, before the election, talking about things like money and politics and the corruption that's been legalized over the last 50 years, starting with Buckley v. Vallejo, a Supreme Court decision in 1976 that basically concluded that we cannot regulate money and politics, all the way up through Citizens United in 2010. Hey, Maggie, where have you been? Where was your outrage at the tax code, at the failure to raise the minimum wage, the failure for this economic system to work for the middle class? My answer to that consistently has been, where have you been? I've been talking about this stuff all the time, to the chagrin of many, almost on a daily basis, whether it was in the Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money segment, but more generally as an economist. And as a lawyer and as someone who considers herself working class, whose parents were working class, are working class, I have been concerned about this. In fact, back in the early 2000s, I came up with a name for this failure. I called it the mythology of meritocracy, this idea that sort of undergirded this prosperity theology that started to take root in the Christian evangelical movement way back into the late 70s, early 80s. What do I mean by all of this? I mean to say that the middle class is told, work hard, do well, mean well, and you will do better than your parents, right? But I think increasingly people are feeling like that is simply not true. And when we look at the fundamental statistics that would show us if that is indeed true, nearly every single one of those statistics or data points, and I don't care who's measuring it, you can go to the most conservative think tanks you want, like the American Enterprise Institute or the Heritage Foundation. Whatever statistic you want to look at from whatever organization you want to look at, by virtually every metric, what all of that shows us is that our country is not meritocratic. That it is not a formula for success and doing better than your parents by showing up, meaning well, and working hard and doing your best. That is no longer any guarantee that you will be economically stable. This, to me, is the number one reason that Donald Trump became attractive to many voters. They intuitively and very experientially every day thought, wait a minute, I feel like I'm getting screwed. And that sensibility, that sense, that intuition that we all have, and that I think all of us share to a certain degree, is absolutely 100% correct. So here's what I want to talk about. I've heard, again, a lot of the commentary seems to, Democrats have been elitist. They talk down to people. I think that there is some truth in that. But the elitism doesn't negate the point that Democrats have attempted to pursue policies that, when stacked up against Republican policies over the last 50 years, have overwhelmingly been to the benefit of working people. We can say very clearly, Democrats have perhaps stunk at messaging, haven't spoken in clear enough populist terms, have not identified without talking down to working people. We can say all of that, but the weight of the policies over the last 50 years is frankly undeniable. We can also criticize Democrats very genuinely and say this: Democratic policies didn't go far enough to protect working people. That when Bill Clinton advocated for NAFTA, when free trade was all the rage, that the Democrats that were there saying, hey, if you engage in these trade agreements, it is of course going to be the result that people will lose jobs, that bottoms will fall out of certain manufacturing jobs that used to be family supporting, that they will leave the United States. All of that was knowable and known. And yet both Democrats and conservatives failed to do the things that every economist worth their weight would tell you, and that is job reskilling, upskilling, retraining, supported relocation programs if people, again, lose their good family-supported manufacturing jobs. Democrats failed to do that, but so did Republicans. So when we take, again, the 50 years of policy in this country from Democrats and Republicans. We can point to failure after failure on the Democratic side. Didn't go far enough. Didn't consider this. Spoke down to people. Bad messaging. Again, failed to advocate for a fair tax code or a fairer tax code. But the reality is this. When summed up in totality, there is simply no debating the fact that Republicans, not Democrats, have done more to undermine the middle class over the last 50 years by leaps and bounds. So, why are Democrats losing the working person's vote? Let us discuss, because here again in Civic Media, we believe about great conversation, and we need you to have that conversation. If you are a new caller, please let Calvin know. I want you to go to the front of the line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Keith in Broadhead. Keith, what are your thoughts? Have Democrats forever lost the working person's vote?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if it's forever, but I will say that the loss started back when Republican Party started to villainize unions, in my opinion. And once we started losing the union support by the working class, and, you know, to be fair, there were some unions that were not working in the best interest of the employees. Typical of anything in this country, we tend to find people who get to the top of an organization like that and then take it.
Hey, Keith, I'm going to jump in here. Please, please stay on the line. Calvin is going to talk to you while we take care of a couple of quick messages. We're going to come back with Keith and your thoughts about this very important topic. Have Democrats lost the working person's vote? And if they have, what do we do to get it back? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. May the last one burn into